Welcome to Sacred Stories, the place where you have the potential to change your life forever. It is our intention that the next hour will be a place of inspiration, transformation, love, hope, shift, and healing. Open your heart and your energy to release and receive, and join us in the co-creation of a higher planetary vibration. The time to write your sacred story is now, and now here's your host, Reverend Patricia Brooks.
Good evening. Welcome to the last night of our Sacred Stories Walk Your Sacred Path series. You know, we have shared quite a remarkable time together, starting from way back on October 5th with our first interview with Dr. Sam Collins of the Aspire Foundation, our dedicated charity for this series. You know, we have shown up together as a spiritual community, the Sacred Stories family that we are. And we have learned and remembered, we've been broken open, and we have healed. In preparation, I believe, for continuing to walk our sacred paths, individually and collectively. And tonight is a special night, because tonight we are blessed to have Sarayan Michael White, a beautiful channel of divine love and wisdom with us, to share channeled insights to continue to help us move forward. You know, and that's, I have to say, one of the greatest blessings that I have doing these TeleSummit series, in addition to getting to know all of you, is getting to know these amazing spiritual teachers from all around the world. And Sarayan Michael White is one that has already just touched me to my core, and I'm just absolutely thrilled to have the conversation with him tonight, because I know it's going to be so meaningful to all of you. Before we start, I do want to give a shout out, though, to our show last night with Jean Adrian of InnerSpeak and our topic of Seven Rays Energy Healing, an energy healing practice that I also do, and Jean's channeled healing modality, also called InnerSpeak. It was a tremendous show filled with powerful tools that you can use to support you and your loved ones on your journey. So I encourage you, if you haven't listened already, to listen to Jean's show on the replay. So, as I said, tonight we're blessed to have Sarayan Michael White with us. So Sarayan is a channel, author, and international speaker whose workshops, conferences, and private readings have touched the lives of people throughout Europe, the United States, Canada, Mexico, Australia, Russia, and the Middle East. Sarayan's lifelong devotion to the practice of channeling has led to extraordinary breakthroughs in consciousness that have helped make the invisible realms a much more accessible experience for his audience. Currently, Sarayan anchors the School of Manifestation, a new dispensation of teachings from the Ascended Masters to educate humanity during its time of transition into a new age. Sarayan is also a tremendous resource as a private reader. His gift of spiritual discernment is priceless, according to his many clients. And I can tell you again, I've had the pleasure of speaking with Sarayan on a few occasions leading up to our call tonight. And you guys are in for a tremendous evening. So with that, I'd like to say it's my distinct pleasure to welcome Sarayan Michael White to Sacred Stories.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited about being here.
Oh my gosh, I'm vibrating in my seat right now. I can just tell you that. I'm going to try not to dance. If you hear a new noise, it's me dancing in my seat, because that's what I'm feeling like. I feel such a joy right now moving through me. It's incredible, absolutely incredible, Sarayan.
Well, it's interesting. When you come up to those minutes before going on the air, I'm just noticing energetically how you go into broadcast mode energetically too, so that you're not just broadcasting your voice and creating the show as this audio show, but I can feel that you are broadcasting your energy, you're broadcasting that joy and kind of casting it out and really welcoming people into the fold of that sense of spiritual family that is so dear to your heart.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God, absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, we very quickly, in the first series, we started out as, you know, listeners, Sacred Story listeners, we went from listeners to family, like in warp speed. It's just the energy, the love, just the, that just shows up every night. And that is shared is, it could bring me to tears most nights it does. So, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Cause, that's what we are here on Sacred Stories. And I so appreciate, you know, spiritual teachers such as yourself coming on the show and becoming part of our family, because that's, you are now part of the Sacred Stories family. So welcome.
Thank you.
So,
thank you. I'm very happy to connect with a whole new audience. And I really feel that, you know, what you're doing is, it's one of those really key things for these times that we're living in. Because so many of us have come into these embodiments and we have a sense of spiritual mission. We have a drive inside of us to awaken, to connect. And a lot of people are, you know, spread out throughout the world and don't always have like-minded people around them that they can relate to. It's like we're these spiritual paratroopers that have kind of parachuted down into these embodiments all over the world. And now we need to sort of gather together. We need to start to connect energetically and form ourselves into a harmonic, unified, coherent resonance field of unity consciousness. And I find that sometimes the work that we do through these interviews and what you're doing consistently through your show is part of that process of linking us all together into a field consciousness.
Yeah, we speak a lot about moving from the me into the we, you know,
yes,
really step,
yeah.
Right, stepping forward. And a lot of the shows, this series has been about getting out of our own freaking heads and saying, okay, enough about me. I mean, like it is about me because, you know, I'm important. We all matter. Absolutely. But really acknowledging and understanding the collective and the impact that we are having on the collective, and being in service to the greater good, truly.
Mm-hmm. And actually how powerfully we can do that even just by the way we live our lives. You know, we don't have to all be, you know, known spiritual teachers or speaking to groups or, you know, internet famous or out there doing things that are being seen and recognized to have an impact on the masses, because you have an impact on the masses just with your consciousness, with the energy you hold, just with the small day-to-day interactions you have with people. We're always building community. We are always holding a field of intention that can support people to align with this incoming field of oneness.
And that is part of your sacred story, isn't it? I mean, when the way that you've been living your life and what you've shared with us already through the writing of your sacred story for us is that you say every thought we think, every decision we make has a ripple effect. Can you just speak to that a little bit? Like, how do you show up with that understanding? First, you know, a little bit more about what that means to build on what you said, but then how do you show up every day and stay in that consciousness?
Well, I think that in some ways it's very easy because I love to just think loving thoughts and caring thoughts about all of the people in my life. It's like I take turns going around to each person all the time and blessing them and loving them and sending them a little light and just do that throughout the day. And so I know that that light has an impact. I've been blessed with a sensitivity that allows me to feel the impact of my own light on people. And I'm also aware that increasingly the field of oneness that's coming into the world, that's strengthening literally every hour of every day, it actually is leading people into that same degree of sensitivity, of feeling the impact of their light. So it's becoming aware of that, becoming aware of the effect that you have, becoming sensitive to how your presence is making other people feel. That's one thing, to practice awareness and sensitivity of other people around you. But part of how I came into this awareness came from my training with the Ascended Masters. The Ascended Masters made it very clear that when they are looking at people on Earth who are intending to raise their vibrations, intending to access more light, more power, more manifestation energy, that when they're deciding who to work with and to assist in their development and how to best assist them, if somebody's asking for more light, the masters know from their wisdom that an increase in our light also is an increase in our power. It's an increase in our manifestation energy. It means that our thoughts become increasingly more powerful and influential in the world, the more light that we carry. And if we are not doing self-purification work, if we are not behaving and thinking and choosing ways of being that are empowering for others, then they're not going to be inclined to boost us up and make us more influential in our presence. But if we are practicing being very aware of our example in each moment, if we are really caring about our ripple effect, if we are being aware and always choosing to evolve into higher levels of accountability with what we are creating, with our thoughts, actions, words, and deeds, if we're doing that, if we're focused on putting service first, putting God first, putting love first, instead of material pursuits, material desires, and even spiritual ambitions, if we have our priorities in order, then we become an example that the angels and the masters look at that and go, oh, wow, there's so many people that need to see that example. Let's boost that person up. Let's raise their vibration up so that they become more influential and their choices and words and even their thoughts get broadcast out to the world more powerfully, and their presence becomes more present to other people. So I think that's actually one of the most important things that we can do to raise our vibration, is to become aware of our example and to refine our example and purify ourselves. It's not about how many activations you can do. It's not about getting all of your chakras open and spinning. You know, that's part of it, but that actually comes in part as a side effect of just becoming really responsible for your ripple effect. When you are doing that, then you're going to have so many divine beings merging with you and coming to you and teaching you and helping you inwardly to further refine yourself, to further purify yourself, so that you become a very clear vessel for the transmission of divine will made manifest as you.
Wow. So thank you. Thank you so much. Because Sacred Stories family, I feel like we've just been given the keys to the kingdom here, because what I feel and the questions that have come through the last series and this one, and even the work that I do as a minister, is people feel so frustrated because they don't understand why, you know, they have been told you can manifest whatever you want. Just think it, your thoughts, you know, will create it, right? And I hear so many times people saying, it's not happening for me, I don't understand. And they go from one guru to another, looking for somebody to do it for them or to give them their answer. And Sarian, you just explained that it's how important it is that we are responsible for our ripple effect, right? And think about the chaos that would be created if everybody who just wanted all this power, as you say, was given it without having the responsibility of right action and right thought and right deed.
Right. Wow. It's true. I think that there are a lot of distortions in this whole kind of law of attraction teaching that became so popular. It's true. We do attract things to ourselves. Our thoughts have power. Our thoughts have an attractive energy. We can actually manifest with desire. It's possible. You can manifest things that are bad for you with desire. If you have an addiction and you're focused on desiring what it is you're addicted to, you can attract more of that to you because you are powerful enough to do that. If your will is strong enough, then you can manifest things in that way. But do we really want to manifest what our ego's desires are? What makes us think that our egos know what's best for us? The whole first teaching of the Ascended Masters that came through for the School of Manifestation addresses this exact teaching about the law of attraction and the distortions that have come into play with that teaching. There's truth in that teaching, and yet there's also a lot of wisdom that was left out of understanding that when we allow the divine to manifest through us and we're putting God first instead of our own desires, then what God has in store for us is a million times better than what we could imagine for ourselves.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And I think we're shown that over and over again when we're aware enough or have enough time or space, you know, for reflection, right? We can see the divine working through us is infinitely more beautiful and more powerful. You know, you spoke about the law of attraction, and I appreciate you bringing that up. There's a few different divine laws, and many people don't realize that. You know, they think it's really the law of attraction or the law of manifestation is pretty much it. You also mentioned the law of one. Can you speak to that a little? Because listening to you earlier speak about it, I was listening to some of your teachings. I mentioned to you it brought me to tears. This put the core of my being resonated with that teaching so profoundly. It brought me to tears, and I'd love you to share that with our listeners.
Well, it fits right into what we've already been talking about. And I think I'd actually like to say one other thing about the law of attraction first before we move on to that, because I think something that is missing from the teachings about the law of attraction is that all of the things that we attract to ourselves that are unpleasant or difficult or challenging or not what we want egoically, that's also part of the law of attraction. We're attracting all of it. We're attracting the things that we label as good. We're attracting the things that we label as bad. And when you don't utilize this insight about the law of attraction appropriately, you constantly will miss opportunities to refine yourself and to do self-purification work. So if you attract something to you that is not what you want, or it's difficult or challenging or painful or upsetting or triggering, then you have to really take a look through this lens of that, you know, I'm attracting a reflection of my own resonance. So how does this thing that I have attracted reflect me? What is it there to teach me? How can I become more self-aware of what I'm putting out into the universe that this thing that I've attracted is reflecting and reciprocating? And so when we utilize this awareness that we attract the reflection of our resonance, then, for example, if somebody shows up and is really judging you harshly or doing something that you judge, then it's revealing to you something about yourself. It's revealing your own self-judgment. It's revealing some place where your energy is blocked because you have been unloving towards yourself in some way, and you're seeing a mere reflection of that in another person. So that's also all law of attraction. It's not just how to get what you want, how to manifest. It's how to become more aware of everything that you are attracting into your life and the fact that everything that is happening in your life is what you have attracted to yourself. It is what you have magnetized to yourself for your God realization and transformation. And it's not just you either. The soul also, and I'm talking about the aspect of your consciousness that is much vaster than the part of you that lives in a physical body. The soul is incredibly vast. The soul also magnetizes and attracts things into your life for your transformation and healing and empowerment and spiritual growth. And yet on an egoic level, we may not be aware of that. The soul might attract some circumstance, and the ego may feel victimized by the circumstance, not realizing that the soul called forth that exact circumstance to help you and to help you heal and grow and transform your resistance and to surrender to greater love. So, I mean, there's so much more to the law of attraction than what people have been told. But that's right. Just some of the things that we get into in the School of Manifestation. So the law of one is, to put it simply, it deals with this awareness of our ripple effect. It's basically, in its absolute essence, that whatever we do to another, we do to ourselves. It's, you know, kind of connected with the golden rule. But it really acknowledges that every person is an incarnation of us. We are all one being. So what you do to another, you do to yourself. And it comes back to you. Now, that law of one becomes both a teaching tool, in that whatever you're putting out is going to come back to you like a boomerang. You know, that's what people call karma. That is part of the law of one. But once you realize the potential of that boomerang effect, you realize that you can actually program your ascension with that law of one by really focusing on empowerment, by empowering others, by loving others, by serving others unconditionally. And as you're doing that, the reciprocal effect of your ripple effect becomes more and more powerful. And you start to have this feedback loop that occurs, where all of the gratitude that people are feeling for your life begins to feed right back into the soul and into your channel. And it begins to connect you more and more into the very essence of your own divinity and of why the divine created you in the first place, and who and what you are in relationship to that divine current that creates this enormous potential for us to expand into greater and greater love. So that's the law of one. Now, another thing about the law of one is that it has been seeded into the world in different time periods in different ways as a code of consciousness and as a form of sacred spiritual resonance. And in particular, even though there are places where different masters have encoded the vibration of the law of one into the land, America specifically, and I don't know exactly how far this extends, but I know that in North America specifically, and throughout this area of the world, the law of one was seeded into the land vibrationally by the Master Jesus and by the Christ energy, in such a way that when we reach this time period when the energy of oneness began to embrace the world and to come back into the field of human consciousness, the law of one would awaken within the land itself and would begin to vibrate within the people here. So there's a collective awakening, a revelation of oneness that was seeded into the land of America specifically. And I'm not just talking about the United States. I especially see the Canadian people and the land they live upon being very connected with this revelation, at least in terms of the activation sequence, so that it's going to start like an opening spiral that begins to open wider and wider, connecting more and more people into this awakening field of oneness, where the law of one becomes the law of the land, and it begins to literally rewrite history and change so many different things about the reality that we are living in. Organizations that have no place within the body of one humanity will disappear and become obsolete. Many laws will disappear. Many institutions that are not founded in oneness will collapse. We're going to see this, most of us, within our lifetimes. And it is really an arrival also of that oneness vibration inside of us. And that has everything to do with the true design of the human body, and specifically the design of our DNA. Because our DNA was coded to vibrate with this energy of oneness. And we are all connected to this. So even though it's going to activate very powerfully in Canada and the United States, and then open and spiral out from there, it's really awakening in the whole world all at once. It's just that there are certain centers of activation that are creating a catalytic effect of this revelation of oneness opening in human consciousness. And it's going to change a lot. It's going to change and redefine the purpose of America. It's going to redefine the purpose of the American people and their relationship to the world. It's one of the reasons why there are so many dark forces that have set their intent on distorting the purpose of America and corrupting the purpose of America and corrupting government, and why so many forces of greed and misplaced power have taken root here. It's because this land holds many very powerful codes of consciousness. There's power in these codes of consciousness and in the spiritual currents running through this land. And it's very tempting for certain types of discordant energies to try to grab a hold of that current and to manipulate it and to use it as a way to control the rest of the world. But the revelation of oneness is more powerful than that. The revelation of oneness has allowed these discordant energies into the land, the American people, and the soul contract of the people living upon this land have allowed these forms of corruption to become a part of the story, because we agreed to transform these things. We agreed to transform greed and to purge this from the American consciousness in such a way that it would lead to the kind of redistribution of the world's wealth that so many people are envisioning.
So, sorry, and the law of one becoming the law of the land just sounds absolutely incredible and beautiful. But what does that mean for us as individual souls, our responsibility? Does that increase our responsibility to show up and be in our spiritual truth, or is it going to happen regardless? You know, where's the individual's part in this?
Well, I feel that each one of us in various ways are being challenged to really become true global citizens, to no longer really hold allegiance to any one religion or any one nation or our ethnicity or anything of that nature. We're transcending group constructs of identity, because the body of one humanity is awakening within us. The field of oneness is awakening within us, and it's challenging us to purge ourselves of the resonance of these old constructs where we felt safer being attached to some form of group identity, or we had some reason for being within that type of container psychologically. We are all emerging outside of the prison of these smaller structures psychologically, and we are connecting to this new emerging unity consciousness. And one of the effects of that is that you don't just move more and more into being a global citizen in terms of holding equality with all cultures and all religions and all peoples and all nations in your consciousness, but we are also moving more and more into a stewardship model of civilization and of our individual consciousness, where we do not perceive ourselves to be the owners of the land and of the things that we have, but we are rather the stewards of all the things that we have. And so any money that we have doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. It belongs to the earth. It belongs to the one humanity. And so you become a steward of all that you have, and you become aware and responsible for the living intelligence of matter and the human relationship that we have with the resources of the earth as stewards and as conscious co-creators. So when we actually hold all that we have as common wealth, and we all see all of the world's wealth as common wealth, not only does it begin to change the resonance of the land and the resonance of the people and the resonance of the resources to activate a new spiritual blueprint for how we relate to these things, but it also taps you into this living intelligence of matter, where you begin to receive awareness from the earth that instructs you and guides you about what to do with the resources you have and how to co-create with them. And I think some people that are really aligned with this particular example and model of consciousness are going to come into greater and greater abundance, because they will become the distributors of that abundance. When you move out of the ownership model of consciousness and into the stewardship model of consciousness, and you practice tithing and paying attention to how the divine wants the resources you have access to be used, that's what will cause you to move into greater and greater abundance. You know, again, I'm kind of addressing a little bit of the distortions with the law of attraction, because some people think, oh, if I have these key insights, I can use them to manifest more of what I want, or become wealthy, or, you know, develop greater influence in the material world. And I'm actually giving you another key that I think is more profound and more powerful than that. But it's also very much a part of the law of attraction. When you are in the stewardship model of consciousness, then, and you practice unconditional giving, then the earth knows that. The elemental forces that are within and behind the construct of money and resources and wealth and land and all of those things can sense that you as a human being, as a conduit for the divine energy, are moving into alignment with the original divine blueprint of humanity and its relationship to the earth's resources. So we are very much here to be guardians of this world. And that's part of what we are moving into in our consciousness. And there are many different aspects of that role that I'm not going to go into here. It's a little bit too much to elaborate on just in this one interview. But there are many different aspects to that role that are awakening within us that are very profound, some of it very ancient, and some of it defining very much our relationship to a much larger spectrum of consciousness in the galaxy.
And those teachings are in your School of Manifestation, and we're going to dive into that in just a little bit. But what I think is so profound about what you're saying is, you, again, everything you spoke about, it talks about the responsibility for our ripple effect, which you mentioned before, right? So we're really talking about responsibility, I believe, as sacred beings. And so where does what I think many people struggle with, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, and I think that this is a huge hindrance to many people, is the victim consciousness that it seems like so many have. They feel that things are happening to them. And everything that you've been speaking about is about us and our responsibility. Can you talk a little bit about victim consciousness and what that is? And is it even possible to be a victim?
I would say, from the level of the absolute, no, there are no victims. We are ultimately agreeing to all of the things that are happening to us down here. And I have not really seen any exception for that from that level of consciousness. And I can say that from having experienced some pretty harrowing, painful things that really rocked me to the core and triggered the deepest pain of separation and sadness and despair. And yet experiencing those things while being in the awareness that my soul asked for this, and this was by divine decree that this was to occur in the way that it did. So a lot of people would experience great loss or tremendous pain or suffering or frustration in various ways, and they might see themselves as a victim. And yet I had some things happen to me that could have easily been interpreted in that way, but because I have awakened to these other levels of awareness, I was able to see what God was asking of me and what God was orchestrating on my behalf to help me to surrender more deeply than I had ever surrendered before, because that's what my soul was demanding. The thing is that we usually don't make the connection between what the soul is asking for and what we're experiencing on the physical plane and how we experience that. So, you know, we may want certain things in our life. We want things to be a certain way, or we want to prevent things from happening that are a cause of pain and suffering. But if the soul is saying, God, please help me to surrender more completely to your love and your will. Please clear anything out of the way and remove any obstacle. I give you full, complete permission to remove any obstacle so that I can just be a pure vessel for your love and for divine will. If that's what your soul is calling forth, and God says, okay, well, we're going to remove some obstacles. And suddenly all these things start happening, and the egos and the personalities really freaked out. It's like, oh my God, what did I do to deserve this? What's going on? I'll give you a perfect example of this, because I have a friend who is in jail currently, and she's just one of the most saint-like, angelic, sweet, loving souls that only wants to do good and care for people. And she kind of got mixed up in a situation, and she happens to live in a state where the laws are really harsh and with certain things, and she ended up getting sentenced to 3 years in jail for something that she was only indirectly connected with, that somebody else had done. And it just seems like absolute craziness that somebody like this would land in that situation. And yet we looked at it and we did several sessions about it, and it was very clear to me that God had removed certain obstacles that were in her path for her spiritual growth, and that this was actually the best possible vehicle for her to surrender to God, was to go through that experience, to feel as though she was wrongly accused, to feel misperceived by all of these people around her, to have to surrender to going into this environment that was totally unfamiliar to her, to feel cut off from her friends on the outside. I mean, all of the different things that were occurring for her that seem like a hellish experience contained so many gifts that were part of the spiritual path. And I've actually been writing letters back and forth with her since she's been in jail. And this being is bringing so much light and love and angelic consciousness to the people around her where she's at. And I said, you know, this is where God needs you to be of service to people around you, to transform people's lives. Who are you to argue with that? You're going to create so much transformation and have such a positive ripple effect by being there, and who knows what's going to come out of this. You have no idea when these kinds of things happen what God is setting up, because God could be doing something, creating a setup that's not just about your immediate circumstances, but maybe 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line, you're going to be in a situation or connected to a person or a group of people, and you're going to discover that you have the exact background of experience that you needed to have the most beneficial, positive ripple effect of transformation in those people's lives. And you're just going to be thanking God for every single experience you had and realizing how perfect it is. Where we get caught in victim consciousness is that we don't see that there's a longer story involved. We only see what's happening immediately, that you're losing something, you're being hurt, you're being compromised in some way. And you don't see the way in which the gift of that experience is going to play out over time. You're just in the shock of what's happening, and you're feeling the loss of control and loss of power. But actually, in the grand scheme of things, if we operate from the assumption that there's a reason why this is happening, I have agreed to this, and we begin to look for the gift in it, then we can begin to align with that source consciousness that's orchestrating things. And the amazing part is that the plan for our lives and for our spiritual paths to empower the transformation of others is so far-reaching and so comprehensive that something, you know, 50 years from now that's going on that God can see is part of your potential is taken into account. And what's happening to you in your present life is connected with that unfolding story of your beneficial ripple effect in the world. But you just can't see how it's all connected. It's only through the passage of time that we can really look back and realize the perfection of these things that are happening to us that seem so imperfect. And even when we make choices that are not the highest good or that are sabotaging or that create pain, or we do something that is really disobeying the divine command or running away from it, or we do something that is hurtful, even when we are making mistakes, God takes those mistakes and perfects them and creates a teaching out of it and utilizes every single opportunity of what's happening in our lives and what we're creating to make the most of it. One of the things I often tell my students is that divine guidance and the divine plan is always recalibrating itself to support us to continue to expand into our highest potential no matter what. And it doesn't matter whether you've made a mistake or whether you've taken a wrong turn, you've hurt someone, you've done something sabotaging of yourself. Divine will is sort of like the navigation system on our phones and our cars. Whenever you take a wrong turn, it automatically recalibrates. It's very forgiving that way and very unconditional that way. Your navigation system doesn't go, hey, you just made a wrong turn, I'm not going to help you anymore. No, it just reroutes, you know? It doesn't even think about it. It's automatic. And God's love and the divine plan are exactly like that. It just recalibrates. If you miss an opportunity, then the divine plan does everything possible to put you back on the path of the opportunities that you need.
So Sacred Story listeners, there's so many of you that have written me through the series with the struggles that you're currently experiencing. So I really hope that Sarianne's words are really helpful to you, you know, to look and see, you know, past the immediate and into the gift of the fuller, you know, the fuller meaning to what you're experiencing. But Sarianne, I have a question because, you know, many of us, you know, it's very difficult, right, to be in the moment, even with the understanding that maybe there's a longer plan, you still have to move through the immediate moment, right, or survive the immediate moment many people are trying to do. And one of the things that we do is we reach out, you know, to our guides, to our angels, you know, some of them for support. Some of the most famous or most ones called on are Archangel Michael or, he's probably the personal favorite because of his sword and helping us being our protector, right? But you talk about part of your teachings is about our relationship, with our angels and our guides, like Archangel Michael. So what I'd love for you to share with the Sacred Stories family, because I think what happens is that we don't fully actually get the benefit of these beautiful energies that are with us because we're relating to them. We're not relating to them, let's say, in the most appropriate way. So can you speak to that a little bit about how we can further deepen our relationship with them and in support of our path?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure the guides really appreciate that question as well, because they want to serve you and be closer to you and work with you and help you to work with them. So every one of you listening to this, your guides are always wanting to come closer to you and be as supportive as they can. And so this is a really helpful thing to discuss, because what I notice, and I'm also really referring to my own journey with the guides here as well, is that in the beginning, when we start learning about angels and archangels and masters, and we learn that we can call upon them and call them in, and we have this idea that we've been given that there's a benefit to doing that, that we can receive more light, we can receive connection, we can receive guidance, then we start calling them in all the time. And this happens in the beginning of the spiritual path a lot. People do a lot of invocations and are always calling upon the guides and asking for different things and asking for their service. And there's a certain point where the guides start to expect us to turn within a little bit more and to disengage from this idea that we need to command them to perform their service. I have to think about some of the things my guides have told me. They've made me aware of all of the times when I go into interrogation mode and I start trying to interrogate the guides for information, because I know they're there. I know that they're here to serve me, and I know that they have greater awareness. And I know that I have a capacity to pick up on the information and get things from them. So I'm always asking questions to try to glean information, or at least I used to do this a lot. And then what would happen, see, in the beginning, the guides might really entertain your questions. They might really show up and, kind of be with you where you're at. But at a certain point, when your awareness of the guides increases enough, they expect you to start paying a little more attention to the dynamic that you're creating with your thoughts and your intentions and your relationship with them, and to become a little bit more receptive, a little less demanding, a little more unconditional about how they want to show up for you. And they ask us to really move more and more into the assumption that, you know, we are dealing with omniscience. We are dealing with guides that have a multidimensional awareness that reaches beyond time and space. They can see our thoughts, our feelings, our memories. They can see things about us that we can't see, and they can also see probability fields. They can see all of the potentials of your life that you can't see from your vantage point. So it behooves you to pay attention to what they're saying to you instead of trying to control the conversation and get information out of them that is what you think you need. So we have to assume that we don't know so much and let go of this thought that we know what's best for us, and that, you know, if only we can figure out the answer to these questions with the help of our guides, then we will have the information we need to make the decisions on this level. I think it's really important to let go and become a blank slate and really just practice blending with the guides, practice meditating, breathing, letting go of your thoughts, being in the awareness of the guides, giving thanks for them, and being open to what they want to say, not what you want to hear. So you may want to hear about, you know, am I going to get this job that I want? What does this person think of me? We want to hear those kinds of things. We want to answer those kinds of questions. How am I going to afford this thing that I want? You know, how do I resolve this particular issue in my life? And there could be something that's actually far more relevant, far more pressing, or the answer to our question is something that we absolutely don't expect. But if we are filtering everything that the guides are saying because we're just listening for what we want, then it doesn't really help them to help us. So we have to help them to help us by not filtering the conversation. And we do that by practicing unconditional listening, by being in this awareness that what your guides are bringing to you could be something that you don't expect. And so you let go of expectations. You even let go of expectations as to how you're going to get the answers. And this is really, really important for people that are struggling with communicating with their guides and are really reaching for a more intuitive way of being and wanting to open and develop your intuitive gifts. It's really important that you don't compare yourself to anybody else and how they get information. And it's really important that you drop your own expectations and realize that you have your own unique way of getting information that your guides know about, and your guides are going to help you to develop that strength and even to take you beyond it so that you begin to absorb and develop strengths from other people as well. But if you're trying to control that process, if you think that, you know, if I'm not hearing my guides, then they're not there, or I am not psychic enough to be able to do this. If you have those kinds of conditions in your consciousness, then you're just going to frustrate yourself. There are so many different ways your guides can bring you information. And, you know, things like clairaudience and clairvoyance, that's just part of it. There's so many other ways it can happen.
And Sharianne, let's talk just a little bit, though, about the quality of the relationship. I know some of your teachings, you say that the relationship is really of us working together with them in service to the one. You know, it's mm-hmm. not like we're subservient in the sense of asking them always for help or commanding. I chuckled a little bit when you were saying asking all the questions, because I do that all the time. I you know, how many ways till Sunday can I ask a question to get my answer? So I chuckled when you were saying that. That's why, because I recognize myself in your words. But let's talk about that, because this is, again, you know, about us moving on our path individually and collectively. When I was listening to your teaching about more of a, and I don't even like words that speak with equality of any way, because I don't think that's the right connotation, but working together with our guides in service to the one, that's profound.
Yeah. Well, I would say that one of the ways that the guides and the masters relate to us is that their intention is to help bring out the best in you. So if you imagine what it feels like when you have somebody that really knows you and cares about you and is like a best friend or a loving parent, they care about you. They care about your potential in your life. They care about your dreams being fulfilled. They care about you being happy. They care about you realizing your talents and being able to use them to make a contribution to the lives of others. If we can connect with that feeling, then we can connect with how all of the angels and the masters and the guides relate to us, because they're just trying to bring out the best in us. And even the process of channeling them and opening your channel to blend with the guides, that is also a process of allowing your guides to come in and focus on your inner light and your frequency, your gifts, your strengths, to help bring your soul's knowledge to the forefront so that it is strengthening inside of you and helping you to let go of anything that is not serving that.
Right. I want to ask a question from one of our listeners. She actually wrote it in quite a while before the show started, and I think that it speaks, you know, really well to what you were speaking about before. And the question starts with, you know, when everything seems to be falling apart, right? So she says, you know, the times in your life when it seems everything is falling apart, you spoke about that just a few minutes ago. But her question is, and she says she's heard the saying, sometimes when this happens, it's actually us being put back together, integrating new ways of being. And you spoke to some of that. But the question is, but how do we know this is the case, or if we are just falling back or into negative energy patterns? I mean, there are, do you agree that there are lower vibrational energies or darker energies, negative energies around us that can impact us, Sarian?
Well, yeah, there are so many different sources of energy that can impact us. And it's also entirely our responsibility what we are resonating with, what we're attracting to us. So even with, you know, as I talk about a lot about this in one of the School of Manifestation courses, the Defense Against the Dark Arts course, because that is only partially about self-defense and defending yourself from negative energy. It has so much more to do with discerning how and why you attracted a psychic attack or negative energy in the first place, so that you can go from creating a buffer of protection between you and what you've drawn to you in that way, from that into awareness of how can I utilize the mirror of this to do the self-refinement work to clear the attachment, the attractive energy that brought this into my field. But I want to address a little bit what she's asking in a different way, because right now the whole planet is being embraced by the divine. The angelic presence and source itself, the creator, is embracing the world and bringing the world back into a love vibration, back into peace and harmony, back into the light. So light and love is being restored, and that's having several different effects. Now, on the one hand, this incoming light is creating a polarization where there's a part of human consciousness that is repelling away and resisting that incoming light. And there's another part of human consciousness that is gravitating towards it and anchoring more of it. And the polarization is so extreme right now that it's like we're living in two different worlds. It's like there's two different worlds that are coexisting within the same holographic space. And some people are walking around living in a world of doom and gloom, and other people are walking around in a world that they can feel is literally being embraced by God more and more each day, that there's really a true awakening and healing and restoration taking place. So two different humanities and two different worlds both coexisting as one hologram. And there's a period of time where more and more people are awakening out of that fear version of reality and into the unity consciousness. And there's also, because of this polarization, it creates a kind of a spectrum. And within that spectrum, any one of us that may be choosing light and unity and gravitating towards the awakening, any one of us can kind of waver back and forth, going in and out of these different vibrations, sometimes resonating with a darker energy and clearing some form of resonance within us that attracts that kind of energy into our field. So there can be this kind of tugging of forces and moving back and forth, and, you know, what people might think of as backsliding. But I want to share a really key insight that can help in your understanding about this, and it's that by and large, everyone that is listening to this is gravitating towards awakening and light, and as a result, there are waves of oneness that are coming in and impacting this reality, and as they come in and they impact our personal reality, it brings to the surface anything inside of us that does not resonate with that new vibration of connectedness and unity consciousness. And as a result, we experience these things coming to the surface, these old forms of pain, these old forms of resistance. I was feeling a little bit of this even today because I was feeling a kind of an energy of distraction, and I was looking at the energy of distraction in my life over the past couple of days and seeing where I had started to get distracted with certain things. And because I'm very mindful of the energy of distraction and I've learned how to identify it and to retract the attention that I'm giving to a distraction to become more centered and more aligned with my divine blueprint and to move forward in accordance with divine will instead of following a distraction. Because I've learned how to do that, I am able to do that more and more quickly. Well, as I was looking at this energy of distraction, I was asking myself, well, why is more of that energy coming up right now? And when I took a look, I could see that it's because there's more God coming in. There's more God current. There's more of the divine embrace. There's more of heaven's embrace coming in. And as a result, it's bringing to the surface any aspect of, you know, my energy in this case that is running away from that, that fears that, that feels unworthy of that. And I've cleared a lot of unworthiness over the course of my work with the masters. I've cleared a lot of these things, but there's still more of it to clear in that ascension process. And so as I identified what was really occurring, I was really applying this insight that is another part of the School of Manifestation teachings, this awareness that whenever our resistance and our pain is coming to the surface and it looks like things are breaking down, that is actually a symptom of this incoming energy of light, because it's so constant and so strong and so present, and it just keeps coming more and more every single day, that every time a wave of that light impacts our reality and something comes to the surface, initially our reaction, our ego's reaction, is resistance and pain memories and things like that. And sometimes we become so overwhelmed by the reaction that comes up, we don't really feel like there's more light coming in. We don't feel any more oneness. We feel sometimes exactly the opposite. And that's the key that I'm sharing, is that when you feel that the exact opposite is occurring of more light, more oneness, more connectedness, then that is the sign that the light and the oneness and the connectedness is coming closer to you, when you're feeling the opposite of it. Because at this stage in the process, most of the time when we feel that kind of disconnect coming up inside of us so strong, it is because there is a healing in process. It is a breakthrough in process. It is a purging of that old energy as we are being reclaimed by love and light.
Well, wow. Wow. So first of all, you just answered half the questions in the queue. So if you have a question in the queue, I think, sorry, you know, good chance, sorry, I just answered it with that. Second of all, I want to say, I have been feeling, you've been feeling the energy of distraction. I've been feeling, especially since the attacks in Paris, I've been feeling an energy of despair. I mean, I truly have just felt such a overwhelming sense of, God, is anything really getting any better around here? But the where I want to go with that, well, first of all, and I think that you answered so much of that, and that's so encouraging, so incredibly encouraging. But the question that I think needs to be answered now is, how much of what we feel is ours, or are we part of, as part of the unity consciousness, feeling things even more profoundly and deeply on an individual level because of the collective consciousness around us?
Well, I think most of us walking around the average day are still very shielded from the mass consciousness. And that's because we have been living with this pattern that we inherited from previous generations, that a lot of it goes all the way back to Atlantis and to the way in which that civilization broke down and the grid of consciousness crashed. It crashed in part because people individually all chose to unplug. That was one of the reasons. There was more to it than that, but we chose to unplug from oneness because we didn't want to feel the pain of the collective. We didn't want to feel the pain of other people. And the way in which we were able to unplug is to retreat into the physical body. Now, in our normal natural state, the soul's consciousness broadcasts through the body, like the body is a radio tower and we are a broadcast of frequency that is anchored multidimensionally through the body. And we can feel everything in the world and we can feel everything in nature and we feel connected to each other's feelings and we have no fear of that. But because this pattern got created, it left us with this program running in human consciousness where we have used a focus on physical reality and identification with our physical forms as a way to dull our senses so that we do not experience an empathic connection with each other. And it's a way of avoiding feeling people's pain. I can remember now in childhood how I felt very connected with everyone and everything in the world, and I could feel the pain and suffering in the world, and it was unbearable. And I asked for that state of connection to be closed down so that I would become shielded. A lot of us did this in various ways. And we're now at this point where the energy of oneness is coming back, and there's so much angelic energy present to weave these connections between our hearts and to connect with these beautiful dispensations of love and activation from the Ascended Masters, that it's kind of like the Masters are broadcasting this message saying, come on in, the water's fine. Don't be afraid to surrender and dive into this ocean of oneness because the field is clear now. Yes, there's still pain in the world, but there's also bliss and ecstasy and love and peace coming into the world now as well. And you have the choice to align with that and be in that vibration, even as we are also feeling the suffering that is happening in the world. So this incoming field of oneness, for some people, it does bring up the fear of being empathic, of our empathic senses opening and activating again. And we all have them. You know, some people that identify with themselves as empaths are people that have an empathic sense that is just opened all the way. Whereas, you know, a lot of people have that ability, but it's just dormant. We all have that. You know, there's those that are open and those that are not. But what's happening now is that pattern is getting cleared so that we have no fear of being empathically connected to one another. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. But there's so many people who will say that they feel, you know, they feel other people's pain, that they feel that their empathic sensitivities are like wide open right now.
Well,
so is it
there's something else I'll let me just say on that note, you know, when my empathic abilities came online again, there was a long time when I was just feeling other people's pain. And that didn't feel so good. And I thought, ooh, now I remember why I shut that ability down in my childhood. I don't even know if I want this because I'm just feeling other people's pain. And what I became aware of is that there was a fear of feeling other people's pain and even a guilt and a feeling responsible for it. And there's all kinds of patterns in there that actually drew to me people's energies of pain because I needed to resolve whatever resistance I had to that and to expand beyond it and to not allow feeling another person's pain to shut me down. And I had to transform any feelings of guilt that were attracting that pain to me. I had to transform any resistance and any fear I had to feeling up other people's pain. And while this was going on, I mean, I was having really intense experiences of not just feeling another person's pain, but having the full visual, emotional memories of their traumas coming into my body and feeling things that other people had done to them as if it was being done to me. no barriers, absolutely no barriers. And I remember thinking, like, wow, if this is what oneness is like, then I really don't know if I'm ready for this. But I kept staying open, and I kept expanding, and I kept listening to the masters, and they helped me to transform all the fear, all of the resistance, all of the guilt, all of that, so that I got connected. I stayed open long enough to connect with the bliss and the love and the peace. And now, if somebody's pain memories come to me, and if I'm feeling another person's pain empathically, it doesn't take me out of that space of love. I can actually take that energy into my field and love it and support the person, and it does not create a pull on me in the way that it did when I felt attached to this idea that I could only feel good in the relationship if I was healing the other person and I was helping them get rid of their pain. I got rid of all those attachments, and now I can feel anything and I have no fear.
Wow, that sounds like an amazingly beautiful place to be, Sari. And I want all of us and all of our Sacred Story listeners and everyone around the world to be in that place with you. But you've been through so much, and you have done so much study and so much work. And what I absolutely love about you is that your life has really, really turned into one of service for others, you know, sharing the wisdom and the knowledge that you channel from the Ascended Masters and from your guides. I mean, you've created an entire school that you call a school of manifestation in service to others.
Yeah. I would insert one small correction there, which is that the Ascended Masters were the ones that created the school, and Archangel Metatron created the school. And I suppose on some level I co-created the school, but I really feel very much like I am humbly a student of the same school that I am anchoring, because it's so much bigger than, you know, even my own teachings. Ascended Master Saint Germain, some years ago, before the school was inaugurated and opened by the masters, he told me that I was one of a number of different channels that he had been training, and he said that he was preparing to open what he called his Ministry of Magic, which was kind of a little bit of a Harry Potter reference. And, I'm not going to get into, all of the meaning behind that, but that's what he said. He said, I'm preparing to open my Ministry of Magic. And he said, your channel and your gifts will combine with that of the others that I have been training. And there will be many new flavors of the teachings of the masters that will come through. I don't know how many other channels were involved in this particular movement to anchor more teachings from the masters into the world, but I kind of had an awareness energetically of some of them. But that prophecy came true when the School of Manifestation came into being. I didn't know what was going to happen. It just happened one day. The masters came in and said, this is what you're going to do. And I meditated with them, and I channeled them, and one by one, the masters came forth, and they began to lay out the blueprint.
So tell us a little bit more. Tell us more about it, though, because we're talking that we didn't even begin to scratch the surface in the interview tonight with the amount of knowledge and wisdom and help, right, that you have, that you've already the masters have created with you, co-created with you in the School of Manifestation. Can you explain a little bit more about what it kind of looks and feels like, and, you know, what's contained within it?
Well, the School of Manifestation is a multidimensional teaching center. It is part of Shambhala. It has a home on the inner planes. The masters have described a series of rooms that are part of, well, there's the Temple of Manifestation on the inner planes, and then there have been other kind of rooms and sort of offshoots of that Temple of Manifestation that house different forms of energy. I didn't really see the fullness of this, and probably still don't see the fullness of it even now, because more is always being revealed. But when this first started, it was the Temple of Manifestation. And then a whole new group of guides came in, and another source of energy within this multidimensional teaching center was revealed. The first course was called Allowing Divine Manifestation, and it really addressed the needs that we have to go beyond these law of attraction teachings and into a higher level of consciousness and understanding and alignment with divine manifestation and what we need to do on the physical plane to align with and allow divine manifestation to move through us. And it was also an introduction to training with the Ascended Masters. That course really jumpstarts your training with the Ascended Masters and links you into the... Oh, there's that train you were talking about. So then after that course, the Arcturians came in, and Saint Germain introduced the Arcturians. There's a whole group of them that came in, and they channeled through me and taught the next course. And then during the Arcturian course, the Arcturian angels came in and explained how in the course of the spiritual evolution and ascension of the Arcturians became integrated with their angelic counterparts. They became infused with the angelic presence and fully integrated with it seamlessly. And so the next course came about when our angels came to us and said, okay, now we are going to teach you how to become like the Arcturians and to become integrated with your angelic counterparts. And so then there was a whole angel course. And then after that, there was the Defense Against the Dark Arts course. And that dealt with psychic self-defense and other techniques of healing, empowerment, and acceleration in terms of transcending duality. So that was a whole other program. And then it just went on from there. And right now, we're at the point where I've actually channeled a whole set of courses. There's the first four foundational courses that I just mentioned, and then there are several other ones that come after that. But at this point, I've kind of finished that set of seven courses, which altogether is almost 2 years worth of content if people were doing it week by week. And there's a whole new program that's opening up, which is the School of Manifestation Study Group. And this is the program that is being launched now as of this weekend. It's when we're going to do the first class, and it's going to be a monthly class where people can participate in one class a month that is what I call the live activation series, where we're going to be doing activations and channelings and receiving new teachings from the guides. A lot of it is going to be updating the courses that are already there, even though you don't have to have participated in them before. So there's no prerequisite to participating in the study group, but we're going to have an online forum where I can answer people's questions in the forum, and also I can do Q&A once a month in these live calls, and occasionally I'm going to be posting video responses to people's questions as well as we go along. So that's the School of Manifestation Study Group. And right now, we pretty much have three different options for people to participate if they want to do it in the most low-cost way possible. We have the School of Manifestation Study Group, which is $30 a month. We have the School of Manifestation Violet subscription program, and that allows you to be subscribed to the first four courses that I mentioned, the Allowing Divine Manifestation, the Teachings from the Arcturian Ancient Seven, the Working Within Your Angelic Blueprint course, and the Defense Against the Dark Arts. And that unfolds and is unlocked sequentially, where you get one class per week with an audio class and in many cases written messages as well. And that goes on until you've unlocked all of those four courses and you have access to all of them. So that's $37 a month. Those are two different programs. There's one which takes you through the courses sequentially and doesn't have any live component, even though it's all really a live link up with the Masters. The Masters have said that they are just as connected with people listening to the recordings, and they work with them just as much as when the live course was happening. So it's all really a live course in that sense. And then there's a study group, which is one live class per month. And then there's the gold member subscription, which is the combination of the two, where you can have both for just $44 a month. So it's really quite a savings to combine them. If you haven't done any of these courses before, then if you want, you can do the first four and also have a live monthly class as well. And yeah, it's an amazing journey. People constantly tell me that it changed their lives, and that they see things differently, and that it really empowered them, and that they feel closer to the masters and the angels and the Arcturians. And it's just really a dream come true for me. I had no idea that this is what the masters had in store when they started training me as a channel all those years ago. But it's just been a blessing every step of the way.
You know what I love so much about it? Sacred Stories family, I have to say that Sarian said that it was launched this weekend. I mean, he's offering it to Sacred Stories family. It's kind of been timed, or divine timing, you know, to roll out now, coinciding with his interview on Sacred Stories. And what I love about it most is that I know that many, many people are, you know, struggling in a lot of ways financially also. Many of you have written to me about that too. And what Sarian and the Ascended Masters have put together is this subscription program. So as little as $30 a month, $37 or $44, you have access to all of this beautiful work and teachings to help you on your path. You know, this has all been about walking your sacred path, and you have access, and you can choose to do it as long as you want. You know, you can choose to do it for a month, or you could choose to do it for two or longer, or, you know, stay with Sarian forever. You know, but think about that.
Forever.
Think about forever, right? I mean, but think about having... I just want to say the ability to work with you and your teachings longer term. I think it's just so important, because I think many people sell a course, or they sell training, or they sell a session, and then you're back on your own. And myself, I have to say that I know I need longer, consistent, continual contact. I need that presence. It's a training.
Right.
In my
head.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that that's important. That's why I went to seminary for 2 years, because in addition to being called to seminary, but I knew that for my soul to really fully move powerfully forward, and not to get into the energy of distraction, which is all around us, I needed consistent, you know, information, study, experience. And that's what the subscription program that you're offering is allowing people, is for a minimal cost to have that consistent wisdom and knowledge and experience with the Ascended Masters and yourself, Sarian.
Right. And just to put it in perspective, if you were to do, say, the $37 a month subscription, which is the Violet membership, and it takes you sequentially through those first four courses, if you were to go through that and have a 1 year subscription, and you took a year to go through that much material, it's about 8 months worth of weekly classes. And I recommend that, you know, or I suggest that it probably will take people about a year to go through that if they're really dedicated. You know, you can, if you want to save even more money, go through it in 8 months. And, you know, when you're done with the last class, you're done with it and you move on. You may want to maintain access to it and go back and listen to classes and stay in that subscription longer. However, if you took 1 year to do that, $37 a month, which is billed through a PayPal subscription, that equals $444 that you would have spent for the year for those courses. And that's about $1,000 savings on those courses. Huge savings to do it in that way.
So, and in addition to that, you include weekly content with audio classes, more written channeled messages. You take questions right? So people have an interaction with you. If they can't make the live class, they can submit questions.
If they're doing the study group. So I want to distinguish the difference,
okay.
because the Violet membership doesn't have the live component, and it just takes you through the classes that are already there, the courses that are there sequentially. And the study group, which is the $30 a month, is one live class per month. I do live Q&A. And the great part about it is that you can even submit questions to me in advance if you can't make the live class, and I will still get to them. I will read the question and answer it either during the class, and you can listen to the recording afterwards. You could download it as an MP3. Or if there's questions I didn't get to, I might ask you to, post them into the forum or address them there, so that, it's just continually generating this conversation with the group. I think when we have a really good group of people, I found that it becomes very dynamic when people start to play off of each other and ask questions and further the conversation by reading each other's questions and responses. And that's part of the reason why we have this ongoing forum, which I'm going to be checking every week and responding and, engaging people in a sort of an ongoing journey with each activation and teaching that comes through each month.
And Sacred Story listeners, this is Sarian's special offer for Sacred Stories. So in the emails that I send out, on the replay page, on Sarian's page, on the live show page, are all links that whichever way you want to get to it. But Sarian has put together this beautiful website page that explains each of the levels, actually goes into detail of the four courses. He was speaking about the Angel Course through the Arcturians through the Dark Arts. It's all there on the special offer, on the special offer link. So if listening to, and I didn't take a lot of personal questions tonight because there was so much information that I wanted Sarian to cover and share with us as the collective. But if the information and the wisdom and the channeled wisdom that Sarian has shared tonight, just as you, again, we're barely scratching the surface of his teachings to us. If that is something that has resonated with you and you're looking for support as you continue to move forward as the powerful sacred being that you are, I would really encourage you to take a look at the special offer page and see if you have a resonance with one of the levels of the subscriptions that Sarian is offering, because he truly is, I believe, Sarian, that you are absolutely the voice of the masters, and the work that you're doing in this world is so profound and so needed. And I just want to shout it from the rooftops, so people know to find you and to be able to hear the messages that you have been given to share.
Right. And the great part about this particular program is that people can try the subscription and they can cancel it whenever they like. So you could actually go in, subscribe, and you would just about make it through the first 5-week course within the first month of your subscription. So I think, having at least 4 weeks of that first 5-week course probably is enough for you to get a feel for whether or not you want to continue on with the process before you get billed again. So it's really a pretty low cost way. I mean, that first course is priced at $222, and this is allowing you to basically try it out for $37 if you did the Violet subscription or the Gold subscription, which includes that and the study group. So yeah, it's a very, very low cost way for people to jump in and participate in this incredible gift that the masters have given us.
Yeah. And just to put that in perspective, I mean, I spent that on lunch today, I had a special lunch, but
where did you eat?
On lunch, but I'm just saying, right? I mean, you're talking about $37 or $44 to have at the minimum a month's time to either with Sarian or with the teachings of the masters. I I'm just absolutely thrilled that you created a that the masters through you created the school and the subscription program that you are rolling out, because it is a beautiful way to make these wisdom teachings available to everyone, regardless of their current financial situation, you know, and so
right.
I appreciate that. Sorry, and it is absolutely, actually, I'm going to get emotional, I think, because this is to the final minutes of the final show of the second series. And I would love for you to kind of take us out with, you know, some messages of hope. I know that there's messages of hope that you are also channeling to kind of support us, you know, as we move forward individually for a while here.
Well, messages of hope. There's so much that I could say about this. I will say there's two things I'm going to say about this. One is that the angels are continually coming to me, and they are affirming that we are entering into a new paradigm of peace. And the things that we see happening in the world that are a distraction, like the attacks in Paris, for example, we have to realize that there are forces that do not want us to enter into this paradigm of peace, and they are trying to distract us away from the fact that the gift of peace is arriving in our consciousness and is claiming the world. So don't be distracted by it. Don't be distracted by any of it. Hold compassion, send your prayers, send love and light, and keep giving thanks for all of the angelic energy that is infusing into us as we continue to surrender to a deepening of this peace consciousness that's coming in. So I wonder how much time do we have? Because I thought we could do a little bit of a process that I think would be a fun way to complete this whole journey.
Absolutely. I'm with you to the end, Sarian. So we have as much time as you like.
Okay.
I love a process.
Okay. Well, we won't keep people on the phone too long, but I wanted to do both a process and it's a little bit of a teaching as well, because, you know, this is sacred stories. And, you know, we're looking at the sacredness of our own story and how profound our uniqueness is. But I think one of the profound elements of our transformation is becoming aware of our inner description of reality and realizing that we can change our inner description of reality to align with a more empowering blueprint of ourselves, to align with our divine blueprint by changing our inner description of reality. And when you change your inner description of reality, essentially changing your story, then at some point the outer will follow suit. So this little exercise is all about changing your story and changing your description of yourself. So I would like to invite you to speak some of these words with me if you feel guided to, as a little bit of an exercise. Now, if I were to say to you, you are filled with love and light, you are a being of pure love and light, you could take that in. You could take that in as a description of your reality, of who you are, of your nature, and you could embody that, and it could resonate inside of you, and it could align you with more and more of your blueprint as that. But it's even more powerful when you speak it yourself, and when you say, I am a being of love and light. I am filled with love and light. This is one of the really powerful practices that I began to develop in my prayer work with the angelic presence and the masters a long time ago. I used to do these prayer sessions, and I would go out every night and I would connect myself with the sky and the earth, and I would start praying for the world. And in the beginning, my prayers were requests for help and support. And then they shifted and they became I am statements, I am affirmations. They became a process of changing my inner description of reality. And that's what we're going to do now. So I'd like to invite you to receive awareness of the angelic presence that is coming into your field to be a witness for you, to witness the way in which you are redescribing yourself, and to energize a part of the divine blueprint that is awakening within you. And specifically, there is an activation that wants to occur within your DNA, a realignment with your original divine blueprint that is taking place. And all the masters and angels are witnessing this inside of you. And they are here to listen to your words and to support and empower you to speak words of empowerment that not only align you with your own divine consciousness, but that also resonate the keys of awareness that other people need to find within themselves in this process. And so in this moment, imagine that you are broadcasting the keys, that whenever you speak a key resonant form of truth that is part of our divine blueprint, that you are broadcasting this out, and that there are people out there in the world that are seeking after these keys. They're listening for them. They're listening for truth. And as they hear you speaking these affirmations, more of that truth resonates inside of them as well. And so I'm inviting you to speak these words with me. My body is filled with light. I am a being of unlimited joy. My heart is expanding more and more each day. I am overcoming my fear of pain. I am overcoming the fear of death. I am unafraid. My body is filling with light. My cells are vibrating with more and more of my soul's mastery. My DNA is filled with linkages that connect me with the angelic realms. My DNA connects me to the family of light and my galactic heritage. My DNA connects me to God's source. I am one with the heart of the Christ. I am one with the soul vibration of the ascended masters. I am one with my own unique Christ blueprint. I am free from fear. I am free from guilt. I am free from shame. I am a magnificent being of pure love and light. My body is a vessel for God consciousness. All of my pain is being transmuted. I am surrendered to divine will. I want each of you to add to this description. Take a moment to speak another I am affirmation. Anything that comes into your heart, any way that you want to describe yourself. You might say, I am fully telepathic. My heart is open to feel. I am fully realized. I am aware of my divine gifts. You can just keep going, speaking these affirmations. The angels will keep feeding to you affirmations that contain a resonance of your divine blueprint and what's emerging inside of you. So, Patricia, what would you say? What would you like to add?
I would like to say that I am I am divine gratitude. And that I feel divine gratitude.
What's the next thing that comes to mind? Let's keep going for a minute here.
I was so in my space, Ariane. I was so in my zone. I am hopeful.
I am an emissary of the angels.
I am an emissary of the angels. I am hope.
That's powerful.
Yeah, I am hope. Oh, let me think. You know, my body is just tingling. I feel like I'm just in a feeling. I feel like I can't really speak. I don't know why that is. That normally doesn't happen, but
I am speechless.
I am. No, it's true though. Like, I feel like the emotion is so, it's become a physical manifestation at this point. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to take away from the moment, but for me, I feel like I can't even, I am emotion. I am emotion. That is probably the best I can say.
I am pure emotion. Well, you did beautifully, and I really love what you added. If we were all in a group and we were all listening to each other, we would kind of go around and maybe we would all be sharing different things and feeding off each other. But I hope as a group experience with each person doing this in their own space, it really contains some of the power that I was feeling around doing this, because this is an incredibly powerful practice, because you can have people that are judging you and telling you that you can't achieve what you're trying to achieve and that you'll never make it and you'll never do what you are aspiring to do. You could have all kinds of negativity and judgment around you. You can have all kinds of even doubts and fears in your own mind. But when you open up a space like this with the angelic presence, when you invite them in to pray in this way, and you just intend to speak the most empowering, vast, expansive description of yourself and your potential as you could possibly imagine, and you really have fun with it, and you really imagine that anything that you say is true, and is changing your DNA and is programming your DNA to vibrate with this potential. When you get in that space of unlimited imagination and unlimited creation, the angels show up and they guide you through this process. And it's really interesting to hear the kinds of things that you say. You might surprise yourself. You might suddenly realize that you're channeling. And wow, this is what it feels like to channel. I'm channeling these words. These are coming to me by divine inspiration. This is a form of prayer. So I wanted to give people a sense of this process, because you can use this and you can change your story. It doesn't matter what story you have told yourself about your potential or other people have reinforced in you that doesn't contain your fullness. You can recreate yourself in every moment by changing your inner description of reality. And when you put this kind of intention to it, you'll align with your guidance and you will receive the inspiration flowing through. So that's what I wanted to leave everyone with, was to feel inspired about experimenting with this.
No, that was incredibly powerful. I mean, when you spoke to me, I literally opened my mouth, but I couldn't speak. Like when I tell you that there was this energy in my body that I was feeling it. I was feeling it. So, wow.
Well, you were holding the field. You were really holding the field for all of the people listening to you, which I know you do very much when you're on these calls. So I know you are supporting the field of what we were doing, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, that was powerful. I'm going to go back and re-listen to that probably many times, because that became a physical experience for me. So I thank you. I thank you for bringing that. And wrapping up our series, you are our cleanup batter that we talked about months ago for our second Sacred Story series. And sorry, Anne Michael White, I can't imagine of having shared this evening with anyone other than you and the wisdom that you have brought to us. And I'm just so profoundly grateful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to serve all of the people listening. So grateful that we were able to do this. So thank you very, very much.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Sacred Stories family, thank you so much for joining us for our series, Walk Your Sacred Path. I feel so blessed to have shared this experience with all of you. I mean, it really has been absolutely incredible. And we will keep the replays and all of the speaker special offers open and available until December 27th. So you have time to listen to all the shows and decide if you'd like to go deeper with any of the speakers and their work. There has been so much that has happened over these past 7 weeks. There's so much wisdom, so much love, so much sharing. And I want all of you to take full advantage of the energy and the the information that's been shared. And I would love for you all to join us again in January for our third series, Live Your Sacred Wellness. So until then, Sacred Stories family, please take good care as always, and remember to write your sacred story well.
Thank you for listening to Sacred Stories. Join us again each Monday through Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for another opportunity to write your sacred story.